Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
That's right, that's right, that's right. You know how we roll. Hey, I'm Kirk M. Samuels.
And I am Jason B. Kendrick.
And we are the Mad Men of Masculinity.
That's right, we're just real men having real conversations for you.
Did you like my pregnant pause when I said of masculinity?
Of masculinity.
I learned the term pregnant pause the other day, and so I just wanted to show off that I knew that.
Oh, I see. You learn a new thing. See, we're all growing. We're all learning new things.
I'm growing, man. I'm a growing. You know, I'm growing in my art. It's a craft.
Well, I'm not going to ask you the other question that usually follows that with the grower.
Yeah.
And everything.
Hey, man.
It's just weird.
Hey, man. I grow and I show, man.
Whatever.
You know, I'm about to say probably the most old white guy thing I've ever said on the radio.
Oh, I can't wait for this. Let's set it up. Old white guy jokes by Kirk. Drum roll, please.
Today, I am sore from playing golf yesterday.
I like it.
You don't find too many brothers that's going to say, hey, you know, they're sore from playing golf the other day.
Well,
but
you know,
dude, I'm hurting, man.
It's a long walk, man.
We played Willis Case and did a lot of uphill, downhill, all that kind of stuff, man.
I'm telling you that is if you walk in Willis Case, I know you see it from I-70 if you're driving here in Denver and you're like, oh, I want to go play that course.
Dude,
be careful.
Yeah.
Because if you don't like to walk uphill,
yeah,
then you're not going to like Willis Case because it's got some of the most up and down holes anywhere in Denver for the most part.
That back nine will get you.
Man, yeah.
Sure enough will get you, man. Say, speaking of old white guy.
Wait. Not talking about me, are you?
Nah, man. I ain't talking about you, man. I ain't that old. Hey, two things happened in the year 1973.
What happened?
Two things that have an impact on this very moment in history, this very moment in time. Two very monumental things in mankind happened.
What was that? Because I wasn't around.
First thing was I was born in 1973.
Oh, I see how it is. Make it all about you. I see what's going on.
I said two things, man.
Oh, sorry. Two things.
Not two things about me, just two things. But the first one was I was born in 1973.
Well, congratulations, and you're still here.
I'm still here, man. I'm still
fighting
kicking.
A good fight.
I'm still kicking. You know the other thing that happened?
No, what happened?
The other thing that happened in the year 1973, Master J.K. Lee had a young, spry white belt walk into his studio, dojo, whatever you want to call it, and said, I want to do some martial arts. And this young kid that walked into Master J.K. Lee's studio is now an eighth degree black belt.
What?
Dude.
That's crazy.
Because I learned that, you know, a black belt is a white belt that didn't quit. What I'm saying? Ooh, I'm on it, man. I'm on it. You know, I'm on it, man. Speaking of old white guy, we got one in the studio.
Do we?
I call him old because he's a good buddy of mine. He's a good buddy of ours. The one, the only, Grandmaster Chris Natsky. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Old white guy. I was wondering when you told that story if I wasn't going to be part of that.
No doubt, man.
You know, I kind of figured
Look at what I got. I brought that in. I brought that in right there. I don't know if I can zoom back enough. Man, this guy, author, speak. I mean, he's probably one of the biggest celebrities I know.
Yeah, not only can he punch you in the face, he can punch you in the brain, too.
You know, but what's more important than this right here is what's right here.
Breakthrough.
You know what it says? It says, to Kirk, my brother from another mother, I so value our friendship. Oh, man, many breakthroughs.
Look at him clout chasing.
I'm telling you, man, the one and only Mr. Chris. Now, and there's a great book out called The 7 Secrets of Modern Dating.
Yes.
The He Said, She Said Guide to Getting from Single to Spouse. You know anything about that, Jason?
I think I was a part of that.
Yeah.
But I think also there was someone who quoted on the back
cover. On the back cover. You know it's important when somebody's on the back cover.
That's right.
On the back cover, there's a quote
by this man
right here.
That's your anchor right there.
I've known Nats for, I call him Nats. I'm probably the only one. Am I the only one that calls you Nats?
No, it used to be that's what I was called in high school.
Man, this
guy. That's a long time ago.
Yeah, that was a long time. I didn't say it was a long time ago. I did call you old, but I didn't say that was a long time ago. This guy's a brother, a friend of mine, man. Former linebacker. NCAA. I mean, man, he used to bring you come across the middle. You had to get some of this. You know what I'm saying? He was Ray Lewis before Ray Lewis was Ray Lewis. Current, man, he speaker, author, man. He, I think, you know, the first time, I don't know if it was the first time we met, Nats, but, you know, at Gary Barnes Breakthrough Business Mastery Boot Camp, there was this board breaking experience that I've participated in, seen, teed up as far as emceeing several times, and it is an absolute breakthrough for everyone that's in the room. And now this guy travels the country, the world, doing this for companies, for organizations, institutions, not mental institutions, other kind of institutions.
We could do it there.
We could probably, right? They probably need probably it anyway. And so, you know, man, I thought there's times in life where we all need a breakthrough, man. You know, it's the beginning of the year. You know, it's January. Everybody wants to get to the next level. They want to do something, goals and all that kind of stuff, man. I thought it'd be fantastic if we talked about breakthroughs, man, and needing breakthroughs, man. First of all, how you doing, Nats?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Nice, man. You. Before we jumped on here, you said you got a new moniker coming down the pipe, man. You got one loaded up.
I do. What is that? It is America's breakthrough sensei. How about that?
How about I just completely closed out my window and now I dropped us off?
It was so impactful. It was so impactful. You just lost your video feed.
I just completely lost my video feed, man.
Talking about a breakthrough. I can't even help himself.
I mean, the board breaking experience is amazing, man. Mm-hmm. And, you know, anybody that's at all been through or part of that, it's definitely a game changer. Sometimes it gets emotional. Sometimes it gets very personal and deeply sentimental and all that kind of stuff. Can you kind of just high level tee up what you do with that experience?
Yeah. You know, in fact, it's interesting because it started in Gary's boot camp. He reached out to me, I think about 8-9 years ago, and he said, I'm changing the name of my boot camp to the Business Breakthrough Mastery Boot Camp. He said, could you do a board breaking experience? I said, sure. So I put it together, and basically what I have participants do is I walk them through a strategic way of breaking the board, but it's not just breaking a piece of wood. On one side of the board, they write a breakthrough that they want to achieve in their life or business. The other side, probably the most important aspect, is they identify a limiting belief that's been holding them back. And then we teach them systematically how to break that board, and they do. And as you said, it can be really emotional. It can really be a cathartic experience. And when I did the first one with Gary, again, 8-9 years ago, I had several people come up to me afterwards and say, so is this what you do? You travel the country doing this board breaking experience? And I said, yeah, I think that's a good idea.
I do
so
now.
That's kind of how it started. Yeah,
as a matter of fact, I do.
Is a great experience, and especially what I love about that. Because I mean, there, you know, you got guys like us who probably had some experience or have done some training, so it's fun. It's like a good refresh. But it's the small ladies, the older ones that I can't do that. And when they do, just the lights come on and just the tears start flowing because they're like, they never thought they could do that. And then when you show them how to do it and they do it, it is a powerful experience for them.
Yeah, and I mean, for various reasons, I mean, you even done that in my living room one time some young men. It's been amazing. Now, if anybody's in the Denver metro area, if you're kids or you are in like kind of the martial arts arena or whatever, or that field, if you take martial arts classes, you probably even know Chris Natsky. You are involved with several different like schools and people, you know, that do martial arts. What is your relationship with kind of the martial arts community?
Thanks for asking. So our organization is called the Colorado Alliance of Martial Arts, COMMA. Mm-hmm. If you go to kicksrus.com, you can see our three schools. We have one in Aurora, which was my school for several years, one in Centennial, and then another one in Parker. And so we have probably, I guess I would say, about 600 to 700 students that train between those three schools. And I basically act as the overseeing master of those three schools and promote the black belts and do special seminars. And so still I'm very involved, and it's something that's been a life work. So
how many people have gotten a black belt under the Natsky tree?
My estimate right now is around 1,800. Wow. 1,800 people. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man. Making ripples and waves.
I'm telling you, man, impacting generations to come. There could be a future, a future Chris Natsky that's going to say, you know, way back in 2024, I walked in and I met this guy. Now, 50 years later, it's 2074, and here I am, eighth degree black belt because of Chris Natsky.
That would be a dream. I mean, because, you know, as you said in the opening statement, my Taekwondo instructor, Grandmaster J.K. Lee, was like a father to me. And I often think about what my life would have been like had I not met him, because he was such a transformational figure. I grew up in a household where I had my father in the house, but because of his struggle with alcoholism, it was a real tenuous relationship. And so I had this man that was this powerful, sincere, loving, kind, but he pushed me to my limits and, you know, just was, as I said, like my second dad. So really appreciative of him.
Were you surprised? I remember J.K. Mestre.
Hey, I'm very impressed. But I mean, you've heard me say that story about 25 times, so you could probably do it better than me at this point.
I could probably do your intro. I could probably at some point here in the near future. What about the idea that a black belt is a white belt that never quit?
Hey, that's it, man. Isn't it the truth, though?
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about it, when I think about those students that have got their black belt with me, I think I've shared this several times, I can think of only like two when they first came in front of me that they had all the skills necessary, balance, you know, flexibility, strength, courage, all that kind of stuff. But there's a lot of people that were good athletes that came and then they quit because it just wasn't their thing. But the ones that have always inspired me are the ones where they really struggled at the beginning, but they just kept showing up and they became some of my best black belts.
Wow. Yeah.
Putting that work in, but the discipline and the effort and constantly coming in. Now, I always had a question because, I mean, I know that kind of the martial arts training has changed over the years and it's become a little more, not fast food, but I mean, I know it used to be there was fewer belts and it took longer time and there was more in-depth training. And now it's almost like, well, there's like the rainbow of belts. How do you feel about that? Do you wish it was more like how it was or?
Well, no. I actually think it's a good thing based on where the industry evolved to. I mean, it all really... The change point happened in around 1980 or 1981 when the Karate Kid movies came out. And then all of a sudden, martial arts studios were flooded with young kids. Now, if you had a bunch of head instructors that were trained in Asia and military guys having a bunch of nine-year-olds come in, it's not a real good mix at the beginning, right? So we needed to learn to adapt the way that we were teaching. But what is so great about that is when we did have that influx of children, now we have the opportunity to impact people at a much earlier age. And martial arts can become an absolute lifestyle. Even if they don't train for the rest of their lives, they have those seeds planted in terms of the lessons that we teach.
Yeah, I haven't trained regularly for probably over a decade now. But I mean, I started in the military and it was kind of the same thing where one of my buddies, his father had kind of combined Taekwondo and Okinawan karate, American boxing and something else. I think he called it Shingondo or something to that effect. And so we trained with his son, and that was my first real, like, you know, training. So then I stuck with it for like 6 or 7 years and tried several different kind of flavors of Chinese kung fu and then MMA and Brazilian jiu-jitsu and stuff. But yeah, those roots, like it makes you feel very self-confident, makes you feel very grounded, right. Even if you haven't trained for years, you know that there's still probably, you probably still know more than Joe Blow on the street and you probably still protect yourself, but it just makes you feel better.
Right.
I think having something like that where you can have the kids come in and start learning a skill set. And then for one thing, like you said, I think the dojo becomes a second home.
Absolutely.
It keeps them off the street.
Yeah. We just had a celebration, I guess 2 years ago, where we had our 25th anniversary. It would have happened in 2020 and it got delayed, but we brought everyone back and had a great celebration. And there were literally generations of people that were, you know, many of the students that I taught back in the day are bringing their own kids now to the studios. Wow. And that's a real, you know, a real blessing. And so that's what in fact, it's interesting, even at a very young age, even though I love kicking and punching, I love fighting, all that kind of stuff, what I really felt inside myself is I wanted to use martial arts as a vehicle for personal development. And that's really what I've been able to do.
That is awesome. Well, speaking of personal development, we're going to personally develop ourselves a break right now.
We're going to keep talking during the break.
Yeah, we're going to keep talking, but the radio, Mad Men of Masculinity, KLDC, 1220 AM in the Maha City. We'll be right back.
Okay. I'm at 11% now, so.
You can probably do another. Totally up to you if you want to switch.
Should we do one more segment?
I think you probably could, because you only went down like 7%.
That's true.
Okay. Let's do that thing.
Now that it's connected.
Man, we could go so many different directions. Yeah. I'm sitting here
probably,
like, man.
We should probably talk about his breakthrough.
Can I bring up that? I can bring up that. I can bring up that. We've talked about so much stuff.
What would you like us to talk about?
This is like one of those. I got this.
Sometimes it's bad when you know him too well.
I know, right? Because it's like, man. I'm sitting here thinking, okay, this answer is probably going to be about 3 minutes.
just so, let the man talk, man.
I know, right? All right, here we go.
Speaking of.
We're back.
Yes, we are.
Mad Men of Masculinity.
Right here on KODC.
1220 AM.
In the Mile High City.
And on the interwebs.
Everywhere.
The Mile High City, home of the NBA champ, Denver Nuggets. Yeah. We're going to repeat.
I'm glad you're keeping it positive today.
I'm keeping it positive. We got other sports teams in towns, but I'm just going to keep it on the Nuggets.
Don't get yourself beat up again.
People come in here with baseball bats. We got a new Hall of Famer, though, man. Yeah. We got a new Hall of Famer, you know, Major League Baseball Hall of Famer, man. Nice. Todd Helton. I wish I could introduce him, and that'd be pretty cool.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Speaking of intros, man, we got our guy, my guy, our guy, Mr. Grand Nasky. Grandmaster Chris Nasky. I'm just going to say everything. I'm just going to mix it all up, man. You my bowl of gumbo kind of guy, man. You everything, man. I appreciate you. You talked about just showing up and just, you know, especially in the whole idea of breakthrough. I mean, how much a breakthrough do you think is just consistently and just showing up?
I think it's almost everything. You know, as I said, I have had all these number of students throughout the years that weren't the most talented. They weren't the strongest, they didn't have the best attitudes, whatever, and then turned into amazing black belts because they just kept showing up. And in fact, it's interesting. I often talk about this in my speeches about a scientific study that was done, you know, decades ago, where they were saying, let's take a look at what is the key component of success in human beings. So they hypothesized that it was socioeconomic background. And so they did all the numbers, and it wasn't that at all. So then they said, well, man, it must be that these people go to the best universities. And they did it, and it didn't show anything. No correlation. Then finally they said, well, it must be IQ. So they tested IQs. Again, no correlation. The only thing they found that was a constant was grit. Mm-hmm. With people just chose not to give up and just keep showing up each and every day. And, you know, it's so interesting because many times I think that one of the things we struggle with the most, it just as a society, is not having that tenacity to move through obstacles when they arrive. And it happens for a lot of reasons. Sometimes we don't have the skill set, the tools, we don't have the vision for it, and sometimes we don't have the support system. But if we just chose just to take one step in front of the other and do that consistently, we'd be amazed by how much progress we could make.
Yeah, and it sounds like, because I know in the West, we've talked about it a couple times, that we have that kind of cognitive negativity bias where we just look at things negatively. Yeah. And I saw another study that was similar to that. I think it was Princeton or Harvard, something like that, but they came back to attitude. And it's kind of the same thing. Like, if you have that positive attitude, which would keep you showing up, because you're like, hey, I mean, we had a hard day on the golf course, but I'm going to keep showing up because I know it's going to get good again. I'm going to have a good time. But that, you know, having that attitude and that positive outlook, but we're so skewed kind of to the negative. And we talk so much about it in relationships, but it's also in business and family and everything else, that when you're more skewed towards looking towards negativity versus positivity, then you tend to create more of that in your life. When you don't have that discipline and the more positive attitude of keep showing up because you know that, you know, it will bear fruit.
Right.
Instead of like, let me plant a seed, wait 2 minutes, dig it up. Yeah. Is it grown yet? Yeah, no, exactly. Let me put it back in the ground.
Well, and I think there's another thing around that, too. I think it's important to have a vision for where you want to go long term. But what we have to do is we have to fall in love with the process, whatever it is. And, you know, it's like I often talk in my breakthrough seminars. It's about, you know, begin with the end in mind, but then break it down and have these small steps. And we do that in martial arts. You know, you were talking before, Jason, about all the belt colors. Mm-hmm. Well, when you have those little victories that you're having on a consistent basis, it helps you build momentum. Whether that's martial arts or it's any type of athletic endeavor or even business, is being able to have those small victories and keeps your momentum moving.
First of all, I don't appreciate that he brought up a bad day on a golf course.
What?
I don't appreciate that.
It was fresh in my mind too, man. How do you know I was talking about you? I could have been talking about me.
Because that was 24 hours ago, and I know you was talking about me, man. I could see it. I knew you was talking about me, man.
Talking about negative cognitive bias.
Yeah.
Right there.
Chris Nasky is a former national taekwondo champion. Not many people can say that. Uh-uh. The winning point of his championship bout match, whatever it was a roundhouse kick to the head. Am I right?
Well, it was a spinning hook kick to the head. But well, you're getting it right.
I'm from the ghetto, man. We had roundhouse kicks. We wasn't that fancy, man. When life gives you a spinny roundhouse kick to the head,
yeah.
I mean, how does one, especially guys, you know, guys are getting kicked in the head all the time, man. I mean, how do we get back up from that?
Yeah, you know, it's such a great question because, you know, one of the things that there's some real subtlety to this, but I think that sometimes what can help us is knowing that things will occur, that, you know, just not that we stay in the negativity of it. It's just like we plan for the obstacles in advance. We know that they're going to occur. And then even if we have a plan to deal with them when they do occur. I mean, nobody, well, I guess there's some people, but I didn't like getting hit in the head. But when it happens is, what are you going to do? Because in that moment, we're at a choice point, right? And the thing that I would say to anyone is just, if they're in places in their life, metaphorically kicked in the head, slow down, take a breath, ask yourself, what's really happening here? Outside of the story, outside of, oh my gosh, I screwed up or I'm no good, but what is really happening? And then take the next step forward to help you move through it. Because many times what happens is those things knock us off track. And if we allow them, we could end up way off track versus just using it as a subtle setback and then moving forward.
Yeah, they always say, you know, everybody has a great plan until they get punched in the face.
That's right.
That's what Mike Tyson
said that, yep.
And it's so true because, okay, I'm going to do this. And it kind of goes back to chunking it down like you were talking about earlier where, you know, you having those smaller steps, I think – yeah, you want to have the big picture, the long-term goal. But when you think about it, I know I've had this experience in my life where, okay, I want this to happen. I want that. That's my goal. And I have no idea how I'm getting there. That's so right. How do you break it down into, and then, you know, step by step, or even just start, like, you know, take the first step.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to know the whole stairway. Just take the first step.
That's right.
And chunk it down so that it's bite-sized. You know, yeah. Eat an elephant one bite at a time kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. What is a key-op?
A key-op. Okay, so key.
It's Korean barbecue.
It's good. Put some sauce on it. Ooh, it's good.
So key-op is a Korean word. Key stands for energy, right? Internal energy, life force, if you will. The Chinese will call it qi, sometimes spelled Q-I or C-H-I. The Koreans and the Japanese call it ki, K-I, and hop is yell. So it's a power yell. And that's what we use when we do the board breaking experience. We use that as a metaphor for being able to blast through an obstacle by using our internal energy and showing it in a physical way.
So explain something to me, because I've never even asked this. So since you are a grandmaster of Taekwondo, why don't they use their fists? Why is it all just feet?
Oh, we do use our fists.
Oh, do you?
In fact, if you look at the definition of Taekwondo, Tai means to kick or smash with the foot. Kwan means to punch with the hand. And Do means martial art or way of morality. So, No, there's if you look at competitive Taekwondo, yeah, there's not a lot of punching. But in the older traditional styles that I grew up in, we use our hands a lot.
Okay, because I was always confused. I had a friend who was like a red belt in Taekwondo, mm-hmm. and we sparred once. Mm-hmm. And he told me after I hit him in the face a couple times, you can't hit in the face.
In competition, you're not allowed to punch in the face. In World Taekwondo, in the International Taekwondo Federation, you can't.
Okay. Because I'm like, well, I'm punching you in the face. So if you say I can't do it, then we're at an impasse.
Yeah. When men have an internal, I'm gonna say power, internal force, could there be a parallel between what we have innately as men in our masculinity and using the proverbial metaphorical key-op to break through what it is that we're going through in life, any challenges that we have?
Well, I think to that point, one of the powerful things about the key-op, if you will, is what it does is it forces us to breathe. Okay, so in order to expel air outwards, you're going to have to breathe when it comes back in. And I think men in particular, when we get all riled up, there's a tendency to tighten up and we get out of our breath, which then all of a sudden we're out of our mind. Cognitively, we're not thinking the way we need to, and we allow our emotions to overcome us. So I think the key up, if you will, is that metaphorical way of actually getting into the breath, because usually when we're adrenalized and our brain shut off, we're not making the best decisions at that time.
No. What's the difference between fear and excitement?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's interesting. Inside the brain, it's really the same thing. It lights up in the exact same way. And so what I often tell people is when they're feeling nervous, they're feeling anxious, is rather than say, oh man, I need to calm down, I need to get rid of this anxiety, flip it around and just say to yourself, man, I'm really excited for this. And all of a sudden it changes the perspective about how you're dealing with that situation.
That's something that I was taught, and this I use almost before every emceeing gig or speaking gig or getting on stage, is I'll do three I'm excited mm-hmm. behind the scenes, like jump up and down, you know, I'm excited. So, hey, y'all, if you're feeling nervous or you're feeling fearful, you can steal that. Do three I'm excited. It's chemically in the brain, those emotions are the same. But by consciously switching to I'm excited versus I'm scared, you can really change the direction of your emotions and your mindset and everything else.
Yeah, I totally do that when I train people on public speaking. You know, it's like Jerry Seinfeld says, you know, the biggest fear among human beings, adults, is public speaking. And number two is death, which means they'd rather be in the casket than giving the eulogy. So,
yeah, and you know, something you said earlier too about, you know, when we're adrenalized and our brain shuts down and we don't know how to act. I mean, if you don't have, and that's why having some sort of training, having some sort of experience, so that when life kicks you in the head, you don't shut down, you don't freeze up. You're like, okay, take a breath and step forward. And so I see that a lot, especially nowadays. You know, a lot of the bubble wrap kids, they don't have any training, they don't have any experience, and normal everyday, or what we as the older generation, I would say, think of as normal everyday stressors, just take them out.
Yeah.
So they don't have any training and don't have a plan of how to handle that.
And quite honestly, stress is not necessarily a bad thing. Prolonged stress is bad. But, you know, you do push-ups, you put stress on your pectoral muscles and your triceps, and they grow. So stress can actually help us grow. And that's what we do in martial arts, is we put people in situations where they are constantly being challenged so that they can have a growth.
I'd like it.
I once heard somebody say the difference between fear and excitement is the breath.
Yep.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I think that was you.
I think that was me.
For sure, man. And so does that probably gets into... I know we're getting close to a break here, but that probably gets into a little bit of the sympathetic nervous system, or is that what I'm thinking about?
Yeah. And also, as I said about the adrenal, so we have a tendency when we are adrenalized, when we have a stressful situation, we feel we're in danger, we generally move to one of three modalities. It's either fight, flight, or freeze. Mm. And many of us move to the freeze. Now, none of those are bad. When men, though, sometimes when we are not able to handle those emotions, we go into the fight mode, we oftentimes are not making the best decisions. So what we want to do is get into our breath, ask ourselves what's really happening, and then not react, but respond with the next right move.
Wow. So is that the beginning of the breakthrough?
That's the beginning of the breakthrough, absolutely.
Ooh, that's good stuff.
That comes right back to responsibility, which is the ability to respond.
Absolutely.
So, if you can't respond consciously or in the moment, then you're probably just reacting. And if it's not going well, it's probably a reaction.
Hey, I got a reaction.
Let's react to this break.
Let's react to a break. I'm going to break up. I'm going to break through. We're going to break to a break. We'll be right back. Mad Men of Masculinity on KLDC.
All right, brother, help me out because I need 4%. Cool. So is this all set properly?
Boom.
Did you
nice.
Display name?
Sure. No, it doesn't matter.
All those of you watching right now, I know I dropped off because I was just being weird, but
we got a dead battery issue.
Nancy's gonna flip over to his phone here, and we're gonna go different input for him as you watch that.
Let me turn off the sound.
And if you're watching that, oh, looks like Ted checked in. Ted, it sounds like you. I don't know if does Ted know that he inspired a new moniker? I don't think.
Oh, I don't know.
He just.
I don't think so, because I was just looking at his LinkedIn.
Ted, if you're watching, you inspired a new moniker, man.
Yeah. Oh, Ted, my man, Ted.
He's out there checking in.
He's awesome. This is even better. Should have done this before.
Boom.
Yeah.
We'll make it work.
All right.
Oh yeah, that's cool.
There he is. We got him back.
All right.
That's cool. Boom.
Little triage. I think we got through it okay, though.
All right. Hey, we're flexible here, man.
We are. We're flexible. Working. Speaking of flexible, I got one. Mm-hmm. All right, here we go.
Yes, we are back.
Uh-huh.
This is the Mad Men Show.
In the house!
I hope if you are listening to us on the radio, you need to go onto YouTube, onto Facebook, like and subscribe, and, you know, check us out, because, yes, we may have faces for radio, but, you know, today we're all looking dapper and fine, because I think we unconsciously emulated the 8th Degree Black Belt in the studio with us, because we're both wearing black. And so, we're all doing the black thing.
You got that right. You know what I'm saying? We decided to wear... I was going to wear my ninja outfit, but I decided not to.
You didn't want to scare people?
No, nah, I didn't want to scare people, man. I didn't want to do that at all.
Especially with your nunchucks.
Yeah, you know, because where I'm from. Hey, back in the day, it was kind of cool. There was a phase back in the hood where guys would walk around with, like, basically, they were ninja outfits, but it was like the martial arts kind of, you know, back
in the
Bruce
Lee days.
Yeah, that
was back with the Kung Fu fighting song. You know, everybody's Kung Fu fighting, so they had on the Chinese gi.
You got any experience with Kung Fu being an inspiration to you, Nat?
Oh, man, absolutely. I mean, my whole reason for starting martial arts was the television show Kung Fu. So, I mean, probably some of it's only known to some of your more seasoned listeners, but it was about the Shaolin monk Kwai Chang Kane walking across the American desert and taking care of the guys using his Kung Fu. And when I was 10 years old, it was the coolest thing I ever saw in my life.
That's how I love that show so much. Mm-hmm. And then I found out that they stole it from Bruce Lee because he was too Asian.
That's
and
true.
And they brought in
David
Carradine.
David Carradine,
like, I still love that show so much, but I have to dislike it a little bit.
Hey, what happened the first time you ever did a split?
Well, yeah, great question. So
he's
got
a high-pitched scream.
He's listened to my intro before. So we're talking about the first time I met Grandmaster Lee. And interestingly, I'll just correct something. I didn't start originally with Grandmaster Lee. I started in this little town in Wisconsin I was growing up, and Grandmaster Lee came into the scene about 3 years afterwards. And so I met him. You know, this was back in the day where martial arts studios were not on every corner like they are today. So I had to drive 30 miles one way just to train with him. And one of the first times I was in his class, I was seated in the back of the room. My legs were spread wide. I was stretching out, getting ready for the training. And he walked onto the mat. And anytime he'd walk on the mat, he'd have this amazing power, this amazing presence. And he's surveying all the students. And pretty soon I realized he's looking directly at me.
Uh-oh.
And before I could move, he came over and sat down in front of me. And he put his right foot on the inside of one leg, his left foot on the inside of the other. He grabbed the ends of my belt and with one push-pull, split me out to 180 degrees.
Mm.
That's right. And I learned two life lessons that day. Number one is anyone can do the splits once. but really the big thing about that is when the second thing is when he looked me in the eyes and he said to me in his broken English, he said, "I will make you a champion."
Ooh.
I will make you a champion. And when you have someone... I mean, I still get chills when I tell that story because I remember him looking at me and thinking, well, this man believes in me. It has to be true. Wow. It absolutely has to be true. And, you know, I've thought about this throughout the years because for many years I was thinking, oh, he just meant about being competitive in the ring, but he meant about becoming a champion in life. And even though he said, "I will make you a champion," what he was really saying is, "I see you. I believe in you." And as a 13-year-old, that's all I needed.
Wow.
Now, was that after you stopped crying from? Because I know I would have been like, I don't know what you just said. I'm still in the pain over here.
Yeah. I'd have said it with a higher pitch voice.
That's
probably.
Right. That's
Thank
right.
you, Master Lee.
Something like that, man. Yeah. I don't know. You're probably one of the best stage speakers I know.
Mm.
I strive to be as fluent and fluid as you are on stage, charismatic, and all those things. And I know you do a ton of like corporate speaking and all those kinds of things. And you bring that board breaking experience to people, like I said, that have organizations or companies and that. But you also do like personal defense kind of stuff with different types of professions.
Yeah.
Talk about that
a
little bit.
Yeah. So in fact, just taught a seminar this last Saturday. I have a program that is called Higher Self Defense. I teach it with my business partner, Teresa Byrne, and she's a fifth degree black belt, one of my students. And so we teach this course based on the adrenal response of self-defense. So to give a little context, the FBI will tell us that 80% of women who are attacked by men are attacked by men that they know. And 80 to 85% of physical confrontation actually begins with verbal intimidation. And that's for both men on women and men on men. And so what we do is we literally teach people these concepts, but then they go through live scenario-based training where I'm literally doing the verbal assaults and they have to be able to get into their breath, have presence of mind, and learn how to back me away with their voice. And so then after that, we base it on what we call the ABCs of self-defense. So first of all, awareness of our environment and what's going on inside of us. B is boundaries, spatial and verbal boundaries, and then C stands for combatives. And in the combative segment, we teach them some very basic strikes and kicks, and then it ends with me being in a big padded suit, and then they get their shot at me. And
what kind of professions normally come through that?
You know what? I'll tell you, we're doing a women's group here at the end. I've had police organizations, I've had fire organizations, I've had healthcare organizations, nurses, doctors that have done this. And one of the things that's great about it, is it's such a great team building. And, you know, I remember we had a group that was property managers for various apartments here in Denver. And they had done the week before a whitewater rafting trip as a team builder. And then they did our event. And in our closing circle, all of them almost to a person was saying, yeah, that whitewater rafting was cool, but the team bonding really happened in the self-defense seminar. Oh.
Yeah. Sounds like some realtors would get into, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and if you think about it, many realtors are out in the environment. They're doing open houses. They're going to neighborhoods or homes maybe they haven't seen before. And they haven't – one of the things we do in our program, an extension of this called Be Smart, Be Safe, is we teach safety protocols for realtors so that they have, you know, a plan of action both in advance and then if something does occur.
I might have to come to this just to see you do the verbal assault, because you're like the most pleasantly spoken, nice guy to talk to that I just want to see you be.
I have an alter ego. Let me just say that. I have an alter ego.
He brings out Tommy.
But in terms of that, I mean, all of this is kind of circling back to just the breakthroughs that we have and the breakthroughs that we need in life. And like I said, I don't think you'd be unique if you were a man and you experienced challenges in life where you came up against obstacles, whether it's some kind of metaphorical or literal wall in your life, or relational, professional, mental, spiritual, emotional, whatever you want to call it, man. And I think, you know, we don't give enough credit as men to the fact that we go through some stuff.
That's right.
A lot of times we go through it alone and in quiet, you know, we suffer in silence kind of stuff.
That's right.
But going through challenges where you need to have some kind of a breakthrough, financial breakthroughs, all that kind of stuff, man, is key, and it's something that we as men don't talk about a whole lot.
Well, and I think it's really important for us to be able as men, as you said, Kirk, is to be able to have those conversations. And another thing too, in fact, I literally just wrote a blog on this last week. It was called Problem Versus Project, The Choice Is Yours. And so the idea there is, it doesn't mean that we don't have difficult situations. We all will. And it's part of our human experience. But if we are constantly looking at those aspects or those activities as problems versus projects that we need to, you know, to get to lean into, it's a whole different mind shift that can be subtle, but can be, you know, make all the difference in the world.
Yeah, it seems like in a lot of people we talk to, and a lot of times we work with guys, when you do get to that point where you need to break through, a lot of times because you're not challenging yourself. Yeah. You need to have that consistent challenge. And I know I've run into that too, where I'm like, oh, I'm just going right along. Then all of a sudden life becomes a real struggle. And that struggle is because I've stopped challenging myself. I've stopped trying to break through. I've stopped trying to become better. And so if you are a guy and you are struggling and you're trying to white knuckle it and do it alone, get around other guys, maybe join Chris's gym, go to a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu gym, or maybe just go to a men's group and find somebody to talk to and challenge yourself with. Because when we're in that even space, I know a lot of guys live there, in that kind of numb space. It's just in the middle. We don't get too upset. We don't get too happy. We're just kind of in the numb space. We need to start challenging ourselves to get out of that space and to break through. And a lot of times that's our coping space.
Yeah.
That's our space of just like, I'm here. I'm just doing it. I'm fine. Well, you're not growing.
Yeah.
And we need to grow.
Jason, I'm so glad you brought that up, because, you know, I think oftentimes we talk about challenges on the one end of the spectrum, which is, man, I'm up against it. I don't know how to deal with it. But there are a lot of men who are just gliding through. You know, because I think our society is structured in a way that we're always looking for comfort. If you look at all the technological breakthroughs, they're all about getting better and more efficient and having more comfort. But on the other side of that, as human beings, we are generally most happy when we have a challenge that we're working on.
Yeah.
It's that you know, that sweet spot between overwhelm and being just, you know, blah, as you said before. But when we're in that challenge, we're excited. Life has spice and juiciness to it, and that's where we want to be.
Yeah, what was it, the six human needs, where it's like you need to be assured but unsure.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you need to feel like, okay, well, I know that the roof is not going to fall on me, so I'm
right.
Assured. But then I also need to have some just questions, like, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
You know, because if we don't have both of those, like, if you don't, you have to have that assurance of safety. Okay, well, I'm safe. I know I'm going to be okay, but then I need to sprinkle in some danger there. I need to sprinkle in some, you know, uncertainty.
That's right. That's
Why
right.
did you recommend I read the Viktor Frankl book?
Man's Search for
Meaning. Yeah, Man's Search for Meaning, one of my favorite books of all time. You know, I read that, I've read it actually several times. Remember the first time I read, I was going through some challenges in my own life, and I realized in reading that is how there is what is happening out on the outside to us, but then there's also what's going on inside of us. And that, you know, things can happen on the outside, whatever they are, but they don't have meaning unless we put that meaning to it. And that's an easy thing to say. It's harder to experience, obviously. But anytime I've been up against it, what I've realized is the person that really has command of how I'm interpreting this situation is me. And challenge, difficulties, overwhelm are relative to each person, right? So what might be really challenging or might be very easy for you, Kirk, might be really challenging for me. So we have to be able to have that and have faith in ourselves that we're going to be able to move through it and that we have the skill set to do it. And if we don't feel we do, asking for help is a sign of strength. It's not a sign of weakness.
That's a big one because so many of us, I'm the biggest poster boy of that. Like, I'm fine. I'll be okay. But, you know, struggling, not being successful and not asking for support is very difficult sometimes because that's what you've been trained all your life as a guy. You know, suck it up.
And this is why we need to get around other guys. This is why we need to get around other men. I met both of y'all at some event somewhere years ago and would have had no clue those days that I'd be walking through life with either one of you guys. And so just and being able to lean on and spend time with and break bread and all these other kind of things, I mean, it makes a huge difference to be around the right people that help you get into the right head spaces and the right heart spaces to go through all of the challenges that we're going to have in life. And so many guys don't have that gift. They don't have the opportunity because they live in isolation, because they live in, you know, just being shut down and just going through this stuff alone. And like I said, I don't think many of us realize that that other people are going through the same stuff, especially in a social media environment, that other guys are going through challenges as well. And so we have one challenge right now.
What's
our final challenge for the day?
Let's finally challenge this break.
We're going to break this bad boy up, man.
Break through.
Just like a
board.
Did
you bring some boards? Can we break some boards over
here?
No,
I didn't bring any. Man. Sorry.
I got a couple of them on my kitchen counter.
Yeah. I do. I've got like some frame from past things.
Hey, we'll be back. Mad Men and Masculinity, KLDC. Boom.
Check your phone.
Yeah, I was about to say that too. See if your volume is all the way down on your phone.
Your speaker all the way down. This is the problem we had with phones before is that we can't.
It's off.
It's so weird that, which is why we stopped using our phones here anyway. Yeah.
Even when you turn it all the way down, there'll still be a little bit.
Is there?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm not. I mean, you guys know because you notice.
You probably wouldn't notice other than we've experienced this so much.
We hear those echoes.
You can hear like a slight. Yeah.
So we apologize if you're watching us and we switched over. Chris is using his phone, so if the audio got weird, just bear with us. I will put in the studio audio later tonight, and then it'll be good tomorrow.
Boom, just make sure that my voice is synced with my lips.
That's the hardest part.
Otherwise
sometimes
it looks like one of those kung fu movies.
Yeah. It does. That is the hardest part sometimes because even when you're uploading, you can sync it in the beginning, but sometimes the way it's buffers, it'll go off just like a half second, then it looks so weird.
Great.
It's just the way it goes.
Great.
So if that happens, then you know, enjoy our remake of Chinese kung fu movies.
Nice. We're going all in with the martial arts, with the Asian martial arts theme.
You're
going way back to
what? No.
All
this
kind of stuff. All right, let's do this final. We're back.
And we are back.
That's right. We back. Unfortunately, we finally made it to our final segment. This has been a great conversation, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny how this came up. We were out and it just randomly, like, how come you've never been on the, I don't know.
Yeah, and I said, because I've never been invited.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't feel small after that. It's like sitting next to Chris, we're having a whole men's meeting talking about future plans and things. I'm like, Chris, why haven't you been on the show? Because you didn't ask me.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Well, I recovered.
Truth
be told, I didn't want it. That was such a homer that I felt like if I suggested it, it'd be like, come on, man. Like, seriously.
Oh, no. But see, that's what I took a breath and I responded.
Yeah.
You did.
Get your butt on the show.
Yeah. You did. And quickly, too. I mean, it was in a week.
We made this happen. Yeah. It was like just.
Well, it was so overdue. It was like you should have been on here last year, you know, when we first started. So, yeah, this was overdue by a long shot.
Former national taekwondo champion, eighth degree black belt.
Nicest guy in the room.
Author like a mofo. Is this the first book or the second?
No, this is my second book.
I got the first one also at home.
Yeah.
I mean, a professional. You coach professionals in various fields. Mm-hmm. You do like self defense training. Man, you do board breaking experiences for companies and organizations and all these other kind of things. Man, you're a great speaker.
He's about 120 years old. Looks for like real. That. I mean, got better posture and muscle
for
tone
real,
than
man. Way
either
better
one of
shape
us.
Than me, man. No
Lord
doubt.
Have mercy, make us look bad.
No doubt, man. But you just do it all, Nats, man. You're a gift to a whole lot of people that know you, man. And you know, I know personally, I'm blessed to have you as a friend and as a brother.
Yeah, same here, buddy. Same here.
And
thank
and I'm telling you, this inscription, I grabbed it this morning. I was like, man, I'm gonna bring this bad boy because I got proof. I got receipts. I got absolute receipts. So we're talking about just as we bring this plane in for landing, talking about just the breakthroughs in life, man, and the challenges and getting to the other side, and you know, and you've experienced holding trophies and championship belts or whatever it is over your head, and you've experienced the ups and downs and all those kinds of things. What's on the other side of the breakthrough that somebody could have to look forward to if they are persistent, consistent, if they open up their key op, and if they make it to and break it through the other side? What's on the other side of that?
Well, you know, we talked before about this idea of the exhilaration on the other side and always looking at the other side. And what I would say is yes, that's something we need to look toward. But I think that the breakthroughs start with being accepting of exactly where we're at in the moment. Because many people think outside what they want, but they don't get honest and real with themselves where they are right at that moment. And it's really easy to put things under the rug, right? Because they're too painful to look at. But when we're able to do that, now we know the launching point that we're taking off from. And then once we do go through that breakthrough, it may not even be the things on the outside that we experience, although hopefully those are good. It's what happens inside. All of a sudden, there's a confidence of, man, I did that, so I can now do this. Yeah. And success breeds success, right? And also, what it's done for me is as I've gone through challenges and been able to overcome it, it's developed a high sense of greater empathy that I didn't have before, yeah. Right? And I think particularly as men, I mean, I got into men's groups after a divorce following a 26-year relationship, and I really didn't have many guy friends. I had men that were friends, but most of them were my martial arts students, and it wasn't the same. And now all of a sudden I went into a men's group, and I didn't have to be the master instructor. I just got to be Chris. And if I was, you know, if I was doing well, I got encouraged. And if I was in my stuff, I got called on it. And I knew that my brothers had my back. And that's a whole different world of living. Because when we are in leadership positions, in whatever thing that we're doing, it can be a real lonely place. And we have to think that we always have to be perfect. And what being in a men's group allowed me to do is say, wow, I can take a breath and be human here. I can show my vulnerabilities here. And I can also get a kick in the butt when I need it as well. But you know, just like when I was competing, you know, not only in martial arts, but when I was playing football in college, I had one instance one time. I played at Northwestern University, playing linebacker my freshman year. I screw up on a play. The coach screams at me. And I come over to the sidelines, and I literally, unknown to me, I gave him stink eye, right? I was like, you know, but I was really mad at myself. And he put his arm around me, and he said, Chris, you got to remember something. When I stop yelling at you, that's when you need to start worrying, because then I don't care anymore. And so when we're getting feedback in a men's group and people are, you know, calling us on our stuff, it's because they care. It's because they want us to be better men, and they want us to be healthy, and they want us to be happy. So anyway, the men's groups that I've been in and the movement that I've been part of has been life-changing for me.
Yeah, you bring up a great point. I think it's something we need to reiterate and kind of highlight is that when you are in a leadership position, if you are successful, if you are kind of climbing your mountain and getting to the top, that's when you really need to have that group of guys around you who see you as a guy. Because if you're the CEO, if you're the boss, if you're the owner, then people tend to just tell you what you want to hear.
That's right.
So they're not being honest with you. So having people that, you know, guys around you that aren't your employees or aren't your students or, you know, aren't people you're coaching who can just look at you as a dude and just say, hey, this is what I'm seeing. I think you're struggling, or I think you're, you know, missing the mark here, or I think you're doing great. Because I think that's one of the things we're missing the most is that we hear all the time as guys, suck it up, be a man, and you know nobody cares, work harder. But when you have guys around you who can look at you and go, man, that was – because in my experience too, I've had that where I don't even see the good things that I do because I'm so – my cognitive bias is so negative. So I'm just like thinking about what I messed up on, and somebody's like, that was a great thing you did, and this is what I got from it. And you're like, I didn't even know. Oh, wow, thank you. And you don't even realize what you're missing out on and what appreciation can come from those around you.
And to your point, Jason, I would encourage anyone out there, when we do get those accolades, when we do get those words of affirmation, is stop and let them land. Because it's really easy for us as men to go, yeah, because we're already thinking about the next thing. Stop, take a breath, let it land, let it sink in, absorb it, appreciate it, be thankful for it, and then move on. Because too many times we just ignore those things because we're so focused on the next thing.
Yeah, and it's uncomfortable because if you're not used to that, totally. If you haven't put in the reps to be, I've actually had a friend of mine when I was doing a speaking kind of thing, and I got done with my talk and everybody was clapping, and then I was like, all right, thanks, and I started walking off, and she's like, whoa, okay. Come back here, don't run away, like absorb the appreciation. And I was just like, this is so uncomfortable. So yeah, it's something you have to kind of build that muscle. If you want to be a good speaker, if you want to have good presence, then you know, being appreciated and taking it in is a huge part of it, because I think that's the most uncomfortable part. You know, you're nervous and you're doing the most fearful thing on the planet, speaking in public, and then people want to applaud you and you're like, hey, gotta go. Maybe take it in.
Yeah,
take some appreciation.
Speaking of victories, on the other side of that, is the juice of the victory worth the squeeze of breaking through whatever it is you're trying to overcome?
Well, I'm obviously a little biased. I would say yes, but I would also say it's not just on the other side. It's about really being able to appreciate the process. You know, the other thing I would say too, and I use this a lot in my coaching, is many times people will talk about their most challenging times in their life. But when you look back at those, many times, those are the things we're most proud of. I got through this. I was able to overcome this. And so it doesn't mean that it's going to make it easier when you're in it. But my point there is that when you do move through it, and you will, is be appreciative of it. Slow down. What are the lessons that you learned from it? How can you use it moving forward? And, you know, many times what we'll do is we're our own worst enemy, because when we're in challenge, we begin to resist it, which doesn't allow us to break through. So if we accept it and we get very intentional about where we want to go, now all of a sudden we kind of get into that whoosh, that flow starts to happen. But most of the time, the biggest resistance that is occurring inside of ourselves, not happening outside ourselves.
I have a personal testimony to what you just said. I'll try to make this quick, but a couple few years ago, at the Board Breaking Experience, my breakthrough was to publish my second book. And I was kind of partnered up with someone in kind of co-authoring or co-publishing the book, and that kind of fell apart. And I had the board that I broke in that experience on my counter. I mean, I don't know if you've probably seen it. Several people that have been through my house have seen it on the counter. Now I'm married and that went away because she got rid of all that. Anyhow, whatever.
Why are you keeping broken pieces of wood around?
So when that fell apart, I mean, that was almost a literal example of the obstacle of me trying to break through to what I wanted. And ended up, and that was kind of inspiration for me anyway, to regroup, to get my poop in a group, and with the project that came out of that, not only does it now involve Jason and a couple other people, but I think it's way better than what it was. And you know, again, that book ended up being, you know, a bestseller. And so being able to experience that breakthrough, being able to experience everything that you've talked about here today, man, has been something that's played out directly in my life and has impacted, just even the two of us here and many generations to come.
Well, thanks, my friend. I appreciate it. You know, as you were saying that, it made me think of something one of my good buddies, another martial arts instructor, told me during the COVID time, you know, where we were all in flux, and many of the goals and things that we had set for ourselves were just kind of going poof, right? And he said, we need to be stubborn in our goals, but flexible in our methods. Mm-hmm. Stubborn in our goals, but flexible in our methods.
Be flexible in telling people how to get a hold of you.
Yes. That's right. All right, I'll do that. So pretty easy. You can certainly find me at my website, which is www.chrisnatzke.com. That's C-H-R-I-S. N as in Navy, A-T, Z as in Zebra, K-E.com.
And then you normally do it on social media. You do like your videos and,
that's right.
and with your brick wall behind you.
That's right. That's that. Right. So every Tuesday is a Facebook Live called Mind of a Champion Tip of the Week. And that is at 11:30 Mountain Time every Tuesday. And then that turns into a blog that's shared on Facebook and LinkedIn. And I also, if you go to my website, you can subscribe to that so you get it directly into your inbox every Wednesday at 10 a.m.
And make sure you get a hold of your boys. That's because right. we got guys like this coming in here to help you with your breakthroughs, can help you with your business, can help you with your finances, can help you in a lot of different ways.
We got some stuff in the works.
Oh, yeah. We got things coming up.
We got some stuff in the works that's coming.
Man, you want to see our man live.
We got some stuff in the works, man. We got some things coming down a pipe mm-hmm. that's going to change the world, man. And so this is tremendously exciting. Nats, I love you, man. I appreciate you. Who you are, what you do. Like I said, man, you one of the best, man. You one of the best to ever have. You a goat in a whole lot of ways, man. And I appreciate you. We appreciate you. And so, hey, if you're out there, reach out to Nats, reach out to us, madmenradio.com. You can check us out, Mad Men of Masculinity, on all the social media outlets, you know, podcast platforms, all those kinds of good things. You know, we're here to help you. When men are better, everybody's better. When the tide comes in, all boats rise. And the tide came in here today, and we're all better, thanks to the one and only Grandmaster Chris Natsky.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
And thank you all for watching. Until next time, Mad Men out.